Ladies and gentlemen, friends, and open-minded people wherever you live across the United States of America and the world, this is David Duke, and this is Human Rights Radio. And we have to always explain, it's kind of interesting. I mean, they can tell you, you know, they can tell you during the Hunter Biden laptop about the Russian disinformation. No, it wasn't real. It was Russian disinformation. And that gave YouTube, and it gave Google, and it gave the algorithms, and it gave Facebook the right to block the newspaper that put out the evidence of the Hunter Biden laptop and the corruption that existed inside that laptop, and about how Biden was getting paid off through his son for the influence of his father that he was peddling to Ukraine and other nations in return for hundreds of thousands, in fact, over the years, millions of dollars. And we know now, too, the way that he funneled it to his daddy, which was by simply saying, I'm renting the house in California at $50,000 a month. That's a perfect way to launder the money, isn't it? It's perfect. It works, right? Except it's ridiculous, but it's a simple way to do it. If you want to figure out how you can get the, you know, the big boy's share, what they were saying, or the big man's share, then you just pay him an exorbitant rent for a house that you're not even living in most of the time. He owns in the West Coast. Beautiful. Perfect. But anyway, so the newspaper is running this stuff. This is just a couple weeks before the elections, a critical time. So the Jewish power structure, the Jewish elite that runs America, got together, and they got all their CIA agents and other people in government, well, mainly Jews, but a few goyims. They have Shabbos goy. They have a lot of Shabbos goy going around as well, obviously. And they came out and said, no. This isn't true. Our expertise says that the Hunter Biden laptop was not through this. That was just a Russian plot, Russian disinformation. You know, it's Russian campaign interference. It's Russian evil. It's Russian attacks upon America. Those damn Russians. It's funny, whenever they talked about Russia, did they ever stop and say, oh, it's not all Russians. We're not opposed to all Russians. However, what did our government did? By sanctioning Russia, we hurt all Russians. By sanctioning Iran, we hurt all Iranians. When Bessette, our commerce man, when he bragged about destroying the currency, which America can do because we control many countries and we control the entirety of the financial empires in the world, and we can threaten other countries about sanctioning the country. And by the way, we seized, not only did we seize Iranian assets illegally way back when we did a coup against their government, which, by the way, was presented to the American people again and again, like shipping money to Iran. Look at this. Doggone, Obama paid billions of dollars to Iran. No, it was returning the money that the Jews who run America stole from Iran, their enemy. When they made an agreement, and by the way, there was a good agreement, no atomic weapons. Inspections were allowed. They were never found to be in violation of any of the agreements in that agreement. They never, even our intelligence agency says they weren't making an atomic bomb. And now we have a situation right now in the world where we have massive economic destruction, and the economic destruction is going on not just against Europe, which is, it's falling on Europe the hardest, and the Middle East, and the other Arab countries, but it's falling on Americans. When you pay 50% more for your gallons of gasoline, when it costs you sometimes twice as much, depending on filling up your tank, That's hard on the average middle-class American. Half the people in this country live paycheck to paycheck. They have almost no savings. And by the way, this is a good example of the failure and the insanity of the idea. You know, MAGA is great with the idea of empowering the American working people and the making sure everybody's got a decent wage and decent medical care and decent retirement. Those are good things because that's going by the wayside now. And there are people that lose their jobs and there are people that need Medicaid and they need other aspects of health care. They need that. And they've cut back billions of dollars of that while the billionaires get richer and richer. Trump and his Trump cronies, yet he was supposed to be helping the middle class, remember? He did say, you know, cancel the tax on tips. Fine, I agree with that. No problem. But also what they don't tell you and what they didn't do is they charge you lots of monies that expired in terms of exemptions that people got with taxes. It's the, you know, small business people. And individual taxpayers. And these protections and discounts are going away. President of the United States, this president, the other day said that he was so popular in Israel that he should go run to become head of Israel. He'd win, 99% positive. He is more concerned about his positivity rating in Israel. Maybe for a lot of reasons. Maybe because he has an idea, because he did go to the Epstein Island, I do believe, and he did have some bad conduct concerning with Epstein. I remember they had a big bunch of models, a lot of them, I'm sure, underage too, by the way, at this party and everything. Late at night, the only males there were Epstein and Trump. Isn't that nice? It's unbelievable when you start thinking about it and you see what they're doing. I'm going to play you an interview between Tucker Carlson aren't you glad we have the Epstein class ruling us, these Jews ruling us, Hollywood ruling us? The last comment I'm going to make before listening to Tucker, Tucker went on Israeli television, which is amazing, and you're going to find this fascinating. I'm going to take it right from the Israeli network, I think. And it's just really fascinating to listen to this because Tucker did well. Now, you know, again, it's nice to have me on there. I mean, I know how to handle these things, too. I did meet the press 3 times, and I'm really happy with that massive... I'm really happy that he might run for president. I think it's a good deal. I would support that. There's a website, you know, Massey 28, and I would urge you to support it. So I think that's a good idea. But I want to point out something to you which you might find interesting. Now, of course, I'm demonized by the media. They told everybody that, just like they said, people don't like Massey. People do like Massey. They said the same thing about me. I got elected in 1989. I served in the House of Representatives. I passed the only bill in any legislative body of the United States of America. In that body, it didn't get through the Senate, I must tell you, because they made sure that bill was stopped. But in my body, I carried it because they knew their constituents were supporting me. And that bill prohibited any sort of discrimination on the basis of race rather than merit, which was called affirmative action. So I was working against the EA and all the others, the so-called disinvestment and all that. And long before we had any talk about this, I was the first major candidate in American politics to talk about affirmative action. The first one, even before I got elected, I literally, with my people, patrolled the Mexican-American border and we reported illegal aliens crossing over to the border patrol was a big deal in my more radical days, but it was just reporting. There was no violence. There were no guns at all on that thing, even though they tried to portray that in the media, but there was no guns. And the organization that I led was nonviolent. But I left that organization because I wasn't going to be associated with even the thought of violence, because I condemn anyone and anybody who would try to hurt other people, innocent people. And I believe that we should always be in a mode of discussion and fairness and decency. And I am opposed to so-called supremacism. I believe in equal rights for all. And I have no fear about equal rights. I have no fear about our people doing well if they're given a fair playing field. But if they rig the playing field and they control that and they make different rules for European Americans than they do for other people, that's not right. And if discrimination is wrong against a black person, it's wrong against a white person. Now, do I not believe that there should be things to help black people? Yes, and I don't think it helped black people to have forced integration of education, to ship black people into white areas and white people into black areas. Anybody really think about it? It was so unjust as well, because we have a media that's engendered, and Tucker Carlson and others are right about that, the media that's engendered hatred against European Americans because they wanted to use the black vote, as a weapon to change elections. So that's where I was getting to. Now, in the Massey case, he lost with 45 to 55% of the vote. He got 45. He only got 55. It's disgusting, though, because he was just beat by massive money, because they can produce any reality they want to. If they can give enough commercials, they even know how to aim the commercials at a certain demographic, or they can actually, because of what Google can do today and these social media sites can do today and the surveillance they put on Americans, they can know what your politics are. They can know what you feel about any issue, whether it be maybe abortion or affirmative action or immigration or whatever, you know, taxes, whatever. So they can create any sort of reality that they want to with AI and with, you know, the ability to psychologically impact you with commercials. If they can dump commercials on you after they know what you believe in and what you support. And then they take that issue that you are, and then they show the candidate that they don't want you to vote for, right, to be guilty of violating your principles, even though he may not. It's just like they showed videos of Massey, and it looked like he was checking into a hotel room with either the Muslim representative or somebody, AOC or something, is ridiculous. But that's the emotional impact it is, because it's AI or whatever. So they can affect things. If they can spend unlimited money, and they spent more money in that primary than any other in the history of America, and it's all Jewish money. That's how he lost. And the guy they voted for didn't even do a debate. He couldn't even answer a question. He was just a talking suit. Oh, well, he was a SEAL. Well, okay, there's a lot of SEALs who are retrobates, right, or who are, you know, today anyway, drunkards or whatever, disreputable, whatever, right? That doesn't give you the qualification to be in the Senate, and against, especially not against a guy that was exposing the Epstein files and exposing this insanity of a foreign country controlling our government, bringing us into wars. Absolutely. But they did that. They portrayed Massey as the evil one. The real evil one in this case is Donald Trump. He sold out our people. We trusted him. He said he's going to make America great again. He's made the Jews, and I say the Jews, and I've used a general term there, in an encompassing term, in a collective term, because it is the Jews. And if you criticize me for saying that, how many times have you heard it's the Russians about this and that, right? Or whatever they want to say, or the Palestinians and the it's those Hezbollah people in Lebanon, whatever it is. It's Muslims, it's Lebanese, it's whatever. And how many times have you seen in the media how evil white people are? White racism. Think about it. But it's so interesting that I think this is a false dichotomy. And we know that in terms of organizational value, no one is as organized as Jews are, and for what they openly call Jewish interest, American Jewish Committee. That's not the American Committee, it's the American Jewish Committee. It's the World Jewish Congress, not the World People's Conference, right? I mean, World Jewish Congress. That's whose father-in-law is head of, Lauder. The guy that's head of the Federal Reserve with a stroke of his pen. Anybody he chooses, any bank he chooses, like Goldman Sachs, for instance. And by the way, Goldman Sachs has a lot to do with Jews. It's almost like saying Jew. And Matt Taibbi, I think the reason why they still hate him is because of the Rolling Stone article where they showed a graphic and they said, he said, picture a giant squid with its blood funnel digging into the face of the world and sucking out the money. And Goldman Sachs was, in fact, that was long before Goldman Sachs got convicted just a couple of years ago in an international criminal bribery conspiracy. Boy, there's that word again. Conspiracy. A $4.5 billion conspiracy scheme that bankrupted a whole country in Malaysia. And it's against American law, too. Obviously, you can't have Americans going around stealing and destroying a whole healthcare system and a whole educational system. Well, they have been destroying a healthcare system. It's ours, too. You're sending billions of dollars to Israel, but you don't have your health care paid for. Every Israeli gets all their health care paid for. We've paid for that in Israel. We've given so much money for every Israeli. And the real expenditures hasn't been just what we gave to Israel. It's these wars we fought for Israel, which have cost us not millions, not billions, but trillions of dollars. The whole budget in the United States right now is $4 trillion. It's gone radically up. And what have we been doing in those years? Wars after wars after wars, Jewish-led wars of Jewish neocons and their fellow travelers, their collaborators, the traitors against America that have collaborated with them. The Iraq War was a treasonous war where American boys, we just had Memorial Day yesterday, American boys were sent into battle to die, to bleed, to get crippled or brain injured, or burned horribly where they wouldn't even be recognizable to their children when they came home. In a war based on lies, there were no weapons of mass destruction. We all know that. I oppose that. And the reason why I'm saying it is not to condemn Tucker Carlson or anybody else. Tucker Carlson, I saw him in an interview the other day saying that he was a neocon, regrettably. He was a neocon at one point. I wasn't. I was fighting against the neocons and the Jewish takeover of America from literally the time I was 14 years old when I learned about it. And I learned the truth that this powerful force who was controlling all three of the TV networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, Goldenson for ABC, Sarnoff for NBC, Palinsky for CBS. They were controlling the New York Times. They were controlling the Washington Post. I grew up in that. I grew up in a time where we had a Truman Show for the world. It was a reality TV show that was a hell of a lot worse than one man, which is horrible, destroying his life. Fake wife they gave him. fake job they gave him. He thought he was living a free life, and he wasn't. And every time he picked up the newspaper in the newsstand, he was reading what they wanted him to read, even the weather they controlled. I don't know necessarily if we do that, but maybe they are. Right? But one thing's for sure. One thing they didn't do to Kerry, to Truman, one thing they didn't do to them is they didn't send him off to a war, or his daughter or son into a war to be wounded, separated from wife and children, destroying marriages, ultimately causing suicides, and spending trillions of dollars for a war that was not for him, but against him and his own country and the interests of his own country. That's a fact, folks. So, yeah, so he got 45, and interestingly enough, when I ran for Senate in 1990 against a 26-year-old incumbent Democrat who was supposedly a conservative by that time, Bennett Johnston, when I ran for Senate, they did it. I was outspent, just like Massey was, except it was a statewide race, so it's a lot expensive to run. It takes multiple millions and millions of dollars to run statewide and be able to fight this. At least Massey could fight it somewhat in his district. Again, he couldn't overcome the millions and millions and millions of dollars they spent. But you know what's interesting about it is in that race, what really beat me was the demographic difference. It was a 34% black registration. And I had some blacks, even James Meredith, a very famous black leader who later realized that, you know, he integrated Ole Miss. He was a very famous civil rights leader, but he came to realize that it was a bit more important for black to get empowered in terms of their educational process and a healthy society, and that the war on poverty wasn't really a war on poverty. In fact, the Jewish elite of America didn't want to solve black poverty. They wanted to increase it. They didn't want to really bring the black family together and stronger, because the black family before the war on poverty was together. Almost over 80% of blacks were born in a loving, you know, two-parent family, a father present. And kids need fathers, especially males, obviously, but females too. But they need fathers. They need fathers that teach them how to be a man in the right way, not in the way of being a gangster, right? But they didn't get that, because they had to set up a welfare system, which I campaigned to change, not to not help people, but to change it. Because what they did in the welfare system was they made the black male superfluous. They were going to give the black female, no matter how many children she had, by how many different fathers she had, that she didn't have to depend on a black male for the income that she needed. And somehow they got, you know, the kids grew up. She got what she needed at one point. But what this did was ultimately destroy the black family. It's also destroyed a lot of white families, too, as well. So anyway, so here's Massey. All right, I'm outspent 100-1 in media. I got the entire establishment against me. I've got blackmail going on against our city. They blackmailed the entire state of Louisiana, saying that they were going to stop all the conventions to Louisiana. The doctors, the American Medical Association, they're going to cancel their conventions. 250,000 doctors at the Superdome. What does that mean to one of the biggest industries of Louisiana? Tourism. And everything associated with it. The restaurants that need it. Is the hotels and housing. The other services that these doctors are going to want when they come into Louisiana. What are they going to do? If you vote for David Duke, there's no more medical convention. That was on the front page of our Jewish newspaper in New Orleans. Even down in New Orleans, we had a New Jersey Jewish and New York organization, the Newhouse family, We used to joke and call it the Jew House family. But you see, Jews are a group and they're an organized group. It's not saying all Jews, but why do we have to even say that with that? And why in the hell do we call opposing Jewish genocide in Gaza and opposing these Jewish wars and opposing this Jewish porn that drenches our society and our children and opposing all this gender-affirming stuff with gender-affirming by cutting off your child's reproductive organ or cutting off your daughter's breasts? This is weird. This is sick. It's just so many different things that are going on, ripping off the American public with these banks, hedge fund operators, and it's not the military-industrial complex. That itself is a lie. You look at the biggest single contributors in American politics. They're not weapons manufacturers, even though there are some weapons manufacturers, obviously, that would support war. But if you look at Clinton's, for instance, her 20 biggest multi-million-dollar contributors, $1 million or more contributors, the biggest contributors in her campaign, the oligarchs, out of 20 top, the 20 biggest contributors, 18 were Jews. 18 were Jewish Zionists. That's control. And that's the only people that politicians listen to. They don't care about somebody who gives them $25 or $100, which might be a lot of money for somebody trying to put food on the plate of their kids or paying their rent. That's what's important. And then in campaigns, they can threaten them. Oh, if you do this in my state, they use the blackmail thing, fine. But think about it now. I got 65% of the white vote. If Massey, in an 89% white district, got 65% of the white vote, or 60% of the white vote, he would have won by a landslide. So maybe there was something I said, and maybe I wasn't quite as bad as they made me out to be. Really. Maybe I said some things that people could learn from. Maybe my issues were legitimate, which they were. If I got 65, no wonder they hate me. No wonder they had to take my books off of Amazon. But oh, yeah, at the same time, you got books by Leon Trotsky and mass murderers and communists and God knows what, sickos. Because I'm telling the truth as I'm telling it every day of my life. So here we are. Let's get this. Let's play this Tucker Carlson interview on Israeli television. I think I've got the right one here. You're going to be very much amazed by this. I'll try to. He starts off talking in Hebrew, but this is right off of the Hebrew site. But it's in English because Israelis speak English. But here we go. You're going to be very interested in this. I can't wait to comment on and to try to do some more clarity on some of these things. And Tucker did a very good job, by the way. So here we go.
Disappointed. Both disappointed, feel betrayed what the Israeli government has done in Gaza, which is a crime. It's a historic crime. It is genocide. It's an effort to move an entire people out and take their land. So if some foreign country, I don't care if you claim it's our ally or not, is running an intel operation on my soil.
And it's not an ally, of course. It killed, you know, 30-something Americans on the U.S. Liberty and injured 170-something on the U.S. Liberty. It attacked in a terrorist attack American community, an expat community. A retirement community in Egypt, tried to blame it on Egypt, like bombing movie theaters and libraries and schools and everything else like that of an American community in Egypt, and blame it on Egypt to get us into a damn war. That's what Israel did. Israel's spy, Jonathan Pollard, was the most damaging spy. They said at the time by our Secretary of Defense, and you know, after he was convicted And by the way, so he stole our secrets and Israel sold it at that time. This was to the Soviet Union and caused the death of a great number of American agents and intelligence people in Europe because they were all revealed. And Israel then bartered it all to the Soviets, you know, in exchange maybe for getting more Jews so they could come to Israel. I mean, the whole thing, and this is not an ally. This is an enemy. It's an enemy that lies us into a war with Iran and that basically has their own agents infiltrating our government and subverting it and getting us into a war with Iran that ultimately costed death to 7,500 Americans. Minimum. It's actually way more than that. They just don't count the ones that died later from all the conditions and all the brain damage and everything else. It's really totally a lie. It's a lie. Totally a lie. Anyway, so this is not an ally. We'll start with that.
I have a right to know what that was. Jeffrey Epstein was working on behalf of intel services, probably not American. Now, no one's allowed to say that.
Was it probably not American? He was definitely, he was a Jewish Mossad agent. The guy that was his partner in Europe, for instance, was his photo, you know, his pictures of them shared with an Israeli military cap on. The people all involved with none other than Jeffrey Epstein, with, first of all, his madam, his chief prostitute, whore, generator, was actually the daughter of Robert Maxwell. Her name was Ghislaine Maxwell. And he was considered the most important Israeli spy ever. He rubbed shoulders with all the important people. He got all kinds of intelligence that way. And when he died, he was buried in Israel, and every single Israeli intelligence chief was there at his funeral saying he did immeasurably good for the country. Who was part of Epstein's spy room? Well, was Epstein Jewish? Ghislaine Maxwell, Henry Dane, Wynne Maxwell. And again, everything is, when it comes to Jews, it's deceptive. It's just like they say anti-Semite or anti-Semitic. You're anti-Semitic if you oppose Jewish murder of Semites, Palestinians, or Lebanese, whether it be Christian or Muslim. You're anti-Semitic to oppose the murder of Semites. There's 500 million people that are considered Semitic peoples or speaking, you know, Semitic languages. There's 20% of Israel has people like that, 20%, and they're discriminated against and they're treated like dogs. In fact, you can kill them. You can murder them with capital punishment, but you can't kill Jews. That's nice. Imagine if there was any country in Europe that said, oh, you can kill black people, or you can kill Asian people, but you can't kill white people. You can't punish them with capital punishment. They'd outcry. They'd about be about ready to go to war. The truth is that Israel is a Nazi country, but it's not Nazis as the way the Germans, whatever they were, because you don't have any idea what the Germans were, because we've had a Jewish-controlled media, the same way that lies about Palestinians, the same way that lies about Iran, the same way they lie about Lebanon. They lied about Germany. They produced and created an unnecessary war that cost between 60 and 80 million people to die. And that war could have been prevented. It could have been easily prevented. And if you're worried about Jews, there was no Holocaust going on then. If you say that Jews suffered because of the war, well, a lot of people suffered for the war. 80 million, 60 to 80 million people suffered because of the war. And if you really, if you only wanted to stop or change Hitler's point of view, they could have easily done it. Because they could have easily done sanctions and all these other policies, and Hitler and the Germans couldn't afford propaganda all over the world that they were hurting Jewish people, right? And by the way, I used to think too that we, you know, we should have gone in like Patton said and invaded Europe right after the Second World War while it was still going on. No, if we'd have done that, there'd been millions of decent people, both Americans, Germans, Europeans, and Russians killed. It's ridiculous. Communism still fell communism was being overthrown, you didn't have to have a massive war. There's no justification for this war. That war was the greatest catastrophe in the history of the world. More people died in that war than all the wars previously combined. And this was, by a fact, a Jewish war. It was the Jewish elite, the Jewish financial structure, the Jewish banks, the Jewish influences of the Roosevelt administration, and the Jewish influences in Great Britain, and the Jewish influencers in Bolshevism that created this war. Powerful, actual, truthful. They were even putting out books long before America got in the war, before there's any allegation of any genocide or whatever against Jews. It was written by a Jew, Theodor Kaufmann, called Germany Must Perish. A total plan, it's called for. First page, total plan for the destruction of the German nation and the extermination, eradication of the German people from the earth. 80 million people. They were calling for mass murder. We were not fighting for a just cause. We were fighting for the Jews who wanted to kill and murder 80 million Germans. They didn't kill 80 million, but they killed at least 10, 15, 20 million and many other millions across Europe and in Russia because of this crazy, stupid war that could have been avoided. And I can prove those facts. Same thing's true to a great extent of the First World War, which was really fought because they knew Germany would defeat Russia, and they wanted Russia to be defeated because they wanted to take over Russia. And the whole aspect of the peace after the First World War, the whole Versailles Treaty, that punished Germany, destroyed their own industry and their business and made them poverty-stricken and took away the right of the German people to live in lands where they lived in for 1,000 years, right? And constantly, and taken away from them to live as like basically under a pogrom against the people that hated them. Whatever. I mean, it's just crazy. This war could have been avoided. In the First World War, they wanted the Tsar to lose the war. And they knew that Germany would probably destroy them. And then, after the communists took over Russia, they were looking at taking over Europe and the whole world. They were the ones trying to take over the world. It wasn't the Germans. It was the Germans who were trying to prevent the Bolshevik communist Jews from taking over the world. Well, the Jews have taken over the world anyway, by the way. They shifted from communism to Zionism, but it's the same process of Jewish globalists. It's the same process. So let's keep calling this program.
Foreign government is Israel. There is nothing wrong with saying that.
Shalom, Mr. Tucker Carlson, the creator of the popular podcast, The Tucker Carlson Show. Shalom, and thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
You are one of Donald Trump's most consistent and vocal supporters. You called on people to vote for him. What happened?
Yes. What happened was the war with Iran, which I don't believe serves the interests of the United States. I think it's destructive to the United States and to the world, but mostly to the United States. I'm an American. That's what I care about. And that's something he promised he wouldn't do. For 10 years, he argued against a war like this. And then for a variety of reasons, not all of which I understand, he embarked on it. And so I can't support that. My views did not change. His did.
Do you generally believe Israel would try to harm you because of your opinion?
Do I believe Israel would try to harm me?
Yes.
I mean, of course, I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to be harmed.
Yeah.
But my main interest is not Israel.
I'm just asking you. You were implied to that when you spoke about your coming to Israel. Let's say that for a second.
Well, they certainly harmed under their direction and America's control. They certainly harmed the head religious leader of Iran. They killed a lot of people. They certainly killed the leader, was actually front of America, Saddam, until the Jews tried to make him an enemy because he supported the Palestinians, which also started a war against Iran, which killed millions of Iranians. And Iranians inflicted death upon many of the people that America sponsored in that war. I mean, the insanity and the evil of all this is just it's just unbelievable.
Okay. I said to them, okay, I want to send you the flight information onto the Israeli military just so it's for an Iranian phone or something.
I think they killed Charlie Kirk. I mean, Charlie Kirk was even far more dangerous than Tucker. He had millions of young people. He was also a Christian and kind of a Christian Zionist, but he was changing, and they couldn't have that. Because if they lose America, they lose the world. He was in the Trump office in the first war with Iran just a few months ago, and the first war, saying we shouldn't have a war. We don't need to do this. This was their biggest task. They didn't need a young guy, a very powerful young guy, probably could have been president someday, to become an outspoken voice, and he would have been. We've proven it. He had Tucker Carlson, in fact, talking at the TPC. We knew that, and he said himself that he feared for his life with the threats from these Jews. So I think they did kill him. Now, it's hard to prove it when the intelligence agency doesn't, but they can always get a patsy, right? I mean, they can always find some crazy guy to insult or whatever, sponsor, increase the hate, give him certain support to do something, and then blame him for the situation or simply have him do the deed. I mean, that's always been possible. I think that's exactly what happened in Australia with the attack on the synagogue or the Jews in Australia. It's easy to find Palestinians who've lost men, you know, of family members and women, children, relatives, and everything that hate Israel and hate what's going on. They hate Jewish power and they want to lash back at them seeing their own people die, which, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to. Nobody should be allowed to. But it's easy to find people like that. Israeli intelligence can easily identify them, and then they can encourage them to go do the murder, even give them money and guns and everything else they do. It's a perfect thing to do. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. And yet the person they talk to, they're not going to identify themselves as a Jew. They'll just act like there's somebody who's concerned about Israel, and we got to fight back, and we have some people that's got some money, and we will support you in this, right? And if you have any problems with it, we'll try to help you, your legal care, whatever. And then they get it's not hard to do. This is what they do. I think they did the same thing in 9/11, by the way, that they wanted to get that going. Let's go here. Yes.
No country, and I say this with sadness, but no country has boasted more about killing its political opponents than Israel, of course, about its assassination programs.
I don't say it with sadness. I say it with disgust. I say it because it's this unbearable evil that we support, and that blood is on our hands, too.
Israel gave people to the president of the United States. I was there. And that golden pager represented the pagers that Hezbollah leaders were killed by. Sure. I mean,
not only Hezbollah leaders, when you give a pager that's going to explode to thousands of people, you certainly can't even pick somebody who's really terrible or something. It's like somebody in the Israeli army. Anybody in the Israeli army gets a pager, okay? And the Israeli army is ostensibly the terrorist, just like Tucker says here. So you have a pager that explodes. What happens when he has his little girl, little boy in his arms, or talking to them, or in the same room with his wife, children, his parents, and that pager explodes and kills everybody around them? Or he's driving a car and explodes and he ends up, you know, running on the sidewalk and killing a few people, you know, hurting people. It's insane. It's evil. It's terrorism. That's what it is.
So, yes, Israel brags about assassinating people, and of course it does assassinate people. Many countries assassinate people, but Israel makes a public relations campaign out of boasting about killing its opponents. So, yeah, by definition.
These people that were killed are the terrorists of Hezbollah that had a plan to eliminate Israel. In fact, when you said you're against the war in Iran, Iran is the creator of the fire ring around Israel.
Yes.
Through Hamas and Hezbollah trying to link
self-defense fire. It's Israel that and Jews that, and it's again Jews. It's not Israel. It's Jews, 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 and more Jews for a Jewish state. That's the whole thing. Anti-Semitism is stupid. Anti-Semitism is simply a psych-op word, because it causes people not to focus on Jews. You're anti-Semitic to criticize Israel. What does that mean? So all those Arabs that oppose Israel, they're all anti-Semitic. They're all against Semites, even though they're Semites. It doesn't make any sense at all, right? But it gets the attention from the focus. If they just said, you know, if they just called it this way, anti-Jewish, just like you'd say anti-Russian, or for that matter, do people speak and say anti-American things, representing the American government or the weight of the American political force and the military, by the way, which is the military supported by the American people, not necessarily supported, but controlled by it. Do they not talk about Americans? Do they not talk about Russians? Do they not talk about French? Do they not talk about British? Of course, right? But you can't talk about Jews. You have to stop and say it's not all Jews, but they don't say that when you talk about Russians, right? It's a lie. It's a deception. Because if they said Jews, if they called criticizing genocide in Gaza anti-Jewish, which it is anti-Jewish in terms of Jewish establishment, right? And Jewish power and Jewish structure and Jewish political control. It's anti-Jewish. But if you said anti-Jewish, the game's up, right? Because people are realizing that this is Jewish racism, Jewish supremacism. The problem is Jews, not some sort of confusing term. The problem is Jews. And the problem is Jews. It's not all Jews. There are some Jews, obviously, who oppose it. And I salute them. I've always had my book, Jewish Supremacism, dedicated to them. But it's a Jewish problem. And Israel is a Jewish state. They're proud of saying, they say it every time they say the Jewish state or Israel, the Jewish state. They got Jewish religious symbols all over their planes, and they bomb and murder people. And then they try to tell you the Jewish religion is, oh, the Jewish religion is for human rights. No, it's not. The Jewish religion fundamentally says, including the leading rabbis of Israel, the formal leading rabbis of Israel, the, so to speak, the popes, as popes are in Christianity, the popes of Israel, Ashkenazi, Sephardic leader, and Sephardic leader, they say the only purpose of Gentiles on earth is to serve Jews, and that Gentiles aren't even truly human beings. They're not even the same species. It's not even, it's beyond racism. And they say they have an evil soul. How can you get more evil and how more racist than to say that all the 99.8% of humanity has evil, totally evil souls? Only Jews have good souls. Like, oh yeah, the Epstein class, the Epstein people? Oh, yeah, right, sure. You see what I'm saying, folks? I mean, we live in a Truman Show.
One of national security in Israel and also in the United States.
Of course, I think Israel has the right of self-defense.
So
I think
you said about the pager, a golden pager, something that is wrong. Isn't it the fact that you, when you're fighting your enemies, you need to kill them first sometimes?
There may be circumstances where you can justify killing someone preemptively. And just to restate, Israel, like the United States, like Burundi, like France, like every nation, like every person has the right of self-defense. That's an inherent right. So I've never questioned that. I support it.
But again, you can't say targeting everybody that's supposed to be associated some way with Hezbollah, which is simply a force that's needed to defend the Lebanese people and the Lebanese government and their way of life. More than a million right now have been driven out of their homes, their property. It's unbelievable. Just as you have of Palestinians. We'll continue.
Question.
I mean, you see, all this stuff is so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. So if you just kill randomly, you don't even know who's going to get it, and you don't know who's around them when the pagers blow up. This is evil, and this is terror. And anybody that set off pagers, say, against American military men in America or whatever, anything, or political people or whatever, that, you know, it's just like 9/11, isn't it? I mean, they were attacking America, but they were attacking it, you know, their financial core, right? They were attacking it. And that's evil. It's just pagers are just as evil. And that's truth.
Is worth discussing is what does that mean? Killing innocents is never acceptable,
right?
Period. Under any circumstances, by any person or any nation, it's immoral. It's the thing that separates the civilized from the barbarous. And if like you Hamas wind did, up killing people...
Like Hamas did in
of course,
October 7th.
Right.
In a massacre.
None of this is a defense of Israel's enemies. Of course not. It's a blanket it like universal bit, principle.
It sounds like...
Of course it's not.
It sounds like you are...
No, it's a universal principle that applies to...
Okay, folks, we're going to continue this on. So in the archive, you can listen to the rest of this talk. I think you're finding my commentary interesting and this interview interesting. So just go to the archive, hrradio.net, and pick us up. And also, please support us. I'm really trying to raise money for my more advanced computer and a better screen monitor that I need because of my difficult vision and the cancer that I'm fighting. And I appreciate you helping me pay for that. I would much appreciate it. I'm at box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. Love you, and I'll see you again tomorrow, and you can catch the rest of this interview in just a moment on my archives, HR Radio. RADIO.net. Bye-bye now. www.hrradio.net. Bye.
Home should be without it. Learn more and order Allison C. on the New Earth page at Rents.com. You're listening to the Rents Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide on the net and at Rents.com.